Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, The Epistle to the Hebrews. Isaac, the son of Abraham, is listed in the Bible's Hall of Faith. As a teenager, Isaac showed great faith in God and his father when he was to be sacrificed. Later, he was content to wait patiently for a wife of his father's choosing. Isaac was a peaceful man, and in love invited Ishmael to their father's funeral. He was a man of prayer who sought the Lord when Rebekah could not conceive and was rewarded with two sons. No one is perfect, and one of Isaac's flaws was fear, which caused him to lie. He also had trouble within the family with Esau's rebellion, Rebekah's deception, and Jacob's lies. Isaac's life should bring encouragement to those who do not have a special calling and wonder what God is doing in their lives. This message is entitled, The Life of Isaac. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on January 6th, 2013. I don't know how many of you have written checks this week, 2012. You have to scratch it out. It takes a while, you know, before you get a hang on it. Well, I'm glad you're here today. We're going to be talking about Isaac, the son of Abraham. Would you stand if you pray one more time? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that, Lord, you answer prayers, that you are faithful, trustworthy. And I want to ask you right now, Lord, that you will take this message, that you will move me aside, let your Holy Spirit speak through me, so that, Father God, your word will come out in such a power that it would destroy the works of Satan. I like the verse in the Bible which says that God, for this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested to destroy the works of Satan. And we want to help Jesus to destroy the works of Satan. And I thank you, Father God, right now for healing everyone in this ministry with a cold, whatever they have, Father God. And I pray that every germ and virus shall die and be ejected out of our bodies so we can be healed and move in your power and strength. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Hebrews 11:20, we have a short verse. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. That's a short verse. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Why did God put Isaac in a hall of faith? Why did he do that? And I want us today to look at the life of Isaac and to see what he did. And I want you to understand now, because I really want to hammer this home. There are two tracks that you and I are running on. You and I are running on two tracks. One track is for earth, what we're doing now, what we do on this earth. The other track is God simply growing us, helping us to expand ourselves to be mature for eternity. You're living for two things, here and for eternity. And you want to look upon that. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 22 right now. That's Genesis, the 22nd chapter. If you want to pick it up from verse number 7. That's Genesis 22:7. Have you read this? And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both of them together. Here's Isaac now, probably about 13 to 14 years old. His dad is over 100 years old. Abraham, they simply had some wood prepared. And he told Isaac, come here, Isaac. And he put a bundle of wood on Isaac's back. And here's Isaac now walking to the place of sacrifice. He carried the wood. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? In those days they didn't have matches, bics, and whatever else we use today to light fires with. So what they did was they would have a small container, a clay container. And in that they had some charcoal that would be glowing all the time. And they carried that with them. And they would put more small pieces of wood in to keep that thing burning continually. And that was a fire. And Isaac, that was walking, he saw his dad carrying a fire. He carried the wood, and he looked around him and said, you know, I don't see the sacrifice. He said, Dad, where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So he went both of them together. I'm sure that Isaac was simply thinking there, that's strange. We got everything but the lamb. I guess Dad said it would be provided, so we'd be provided. And they came to the place what God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and then bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. I want you to see Isaac now. He was stronger than Abraham physically. He could have simply said, Dad, knock it out. I'm not going to do that. But Isaac had faith in God. He had faith in his father. And he must have said, okay, Dad, go ahead and tie me up. And he laid down voluntarily on the altar. Abraham did not push him down. He laid down voluntarily. And the reason for that was that he had faith in his father and in God. We know the story. I preached with that last week. God provided a ram. And I'm sure when he went back home, that they were talking about, Abraham probably talked to Isaac and said, Isaac, you know, I really admire your faith. You didn't buck me. You didn't rebel against me. You obeyed me. And I'm sure Isaac said, well, Dad, you know, you have a lot of faith. And you told me that God would provide a lamb, and you sure did. I'm sure when they went home and Isaac told his mom, guess what, Mom? I didn't get sacrificed, but close. I'm sure that Sarah, you know, went, no. But Isaac was a faithful boy. For the next 27 years is a long time, he worked with his dad. Now, you've got to understand how this was working out. Most of us think, you know, that Isaac was some kind of an old man, you know, sitting in a tent with about 3 camels behind him, you know, and just, you know, looking out over the desert. He had a business. He probably had close to 2,000 armed men. Because Abraham had 1,000 armed men plus the women, and he inherited all of that. He had camels. Those are the vehicles they drove. He had donkeys. He had cows. He had sheep. And then he also did some farming. And this was a huge corporation. If you are a farmer, you notice that the most important thing is water. If you don't have water, it doesn't matter how good the soil is. And you're going to find that this is one of the things that Isaac had to constantly look for. Do we have wells? Do we have water? He had thousands and thousands of cattle, used a lot of water every day. So here now was Isaac for 27 years, working with his dad, running the business, making sure they had this. Now what they did with the cattle, they simply would sell the cattle to villages and cities around as they were raising it, and they brought the food into the towns around them. And Isaac became very wealthy. But he didn't have a wife. And I'm sure he must have simply said, "Hey, Dad, I'm close to 30 now. Where's that woman? I want a wife." But for 27 years, he simply waited and was faithful. Here's what I want you to hear now. He was faithful in the father's business of ranching and selling and taking care of all these people that were around him. He was faithful. He didn't know what God was going to do, but he simply was faithful, and he did an outstanding job on that. Now turn to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24. The custom in the Middle East still is today. You don't date men and women. Men and women don't date. Your mom and dad picks out your wife or your husband. That's the custom. And you know, I believe it's not a too bad idea, because it was just God's grace. When I was 19 years old, didn't know nothing, and I picked myself a wife. But tell you what, I picked a couple of women that I thought were good. And God said, "No, no, no, I'm going to give you this one." And on a train going to a city one day in Sweden, God put this woman on the train. And then he told me, he says, "Nah, go and talk to her." And that's how I met my wife. And I praise God for that. Now, Abraham, we read this. Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, "Put, I pray you, your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that you'll not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but you shall go unto my country and my kindred to take a wife unto my son Isaac." There's two things we find here now. Number one, Isaac worked for his dad, but he was not the manager. How many of us simply says, "You know, I don't want to work for anyone. I'm not going to submit. I want to be the boss." For 27 years, Isaac worked for his dad, but he answered to his servant, who was the manager. Secondly, Isaac did not say to Abraham, his dad, "I don't want any woman from our family." I want one of the Canaanite women. They're much prettier. Isaac simply said nothing. He said, okay, Dad, you're going to pick your wife. You pick the wife, and I will marry her. Before he knew how she looked like. That is obedience. Eleazar was an obedient and trustworthy servant that was sent with camels, gold, and other treasures. He had enough riches with him that he could have simply said, I'm going to split and I'm going to start my own business. But he was a faithful man. And in Genesis 24 now, we read from verse number 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. To appreciate what happened is this. Wells were deep. They had no pumps in those days. Women would come out with pitchers, and they would simply have rope. They go down and they put up maybe 5 gallons of water, maybe 2 gallons at the time. A camel would drink between 15 to 20 gallons of water when they were thirsty. If you now had 10 camels, you can imagine how many times Rebecca was pulling that pitcher up. She was probably working for at least 2 to 3 hours to water these camels when she did that. Now, this is what this servant said. O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray you, send me good speed this day. Bless me. And show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men in the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down your pitcher, I pray you, that I might drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give camels, your camels drink also. Let the same be she that you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that you have showed kindness unto my master. This was a tremendous step of faith. He was standing there, a stranger. The women in the city would come out, and he would simply ask a woman, can you give me 3 hours watering my camels and me? He didn't offer any money. And he simply said, God, if there is such a woman with that character, that's the one that you will have selected. Have you read on now? And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with a pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. She went down to the well and filled the pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray you, drink a little water of your pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had given him drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have done drinking. God moved upon her. God spoke through her. In our lives, and I want you to notice, God has a plan for each one of us. If you and I rely upon God for guidance, He will be with us every moment of the road. You will meet the right persons. You will have the right supplies. If you're not married, you will meet the right wife or the right husband. God will supply all things. He will give you the job He wants you to have. He will move all things. But in order to be in God's will, we have to be obedient, not rebellious. Have you got to say, "Thy will, O Lord, not mine, Your will." I want you to notice this here now. And the man wandering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as he came down drinking, that a man took a gold earring of half a shekel weight, two bracelets for her hands, of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray you. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge in?" She watered the camels before she knew that she would get some money. I have learned this. A lot of people always charge for everything they do. There's something you're going to charge for if it is your job. But there are other things that you can do. And if you learn to do a free job, something you know you can do, and you bless somebody, God will see that it's pleasing to Him. And it will come back. He will pay you back. And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which bare unto Nahor." She said more to him, "We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. He simply stood there down and said, "Lord, I want to thank you. You sent me on an impossible mission. Find a woman that would suit Isaac. And here, I didn't have to sign up for dating services. I didn't have to advertise in a paper. I didn't have to put a sign on me and saying, 'Looking for a wife.'" He said, "I prayed and you moved." This is how you want to live. This is how you want to live. You want to live a life of prayer. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy, his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." He did not have a road map. He did not have a GPS. He did not know where Abraham's family was. But God knew it. God knows exactly everything in life. And if we trust Him, He will guide us mightily. I want to share this story with you here right now this morning. This is important. I told you that my great-grandfather on my mom's side, Peter's my great-grandfather, came to America and was saved under D.L. Moody. And I didn't really know his first name. I didn't know too much about him. And so I asked for some information. And this morning, I got an email. And a relative of us had his Bible and had taken pictures with his phone. And I had there, written in there, when he got married. And then he had written down in his own handwriting, my story, how he came to America 1871 the first time. And I got the story. And I simply said, praise God. And I could sit there and simply see what a man wrote down himself almost 100 years ago. I wanted that information. I want to pass it on to the children we have in our family. But I couldn't get it. And God showed me a certain way, and he passed it on. And I even got these printed. I didn't ask for it. I got them printed in color. Fantastic. God will do things for you. Wonderful things. Now as we move on here, I want to move on to this chapter here. And we read now in verse number 30. And it came to pass when he saw the earring. This is Laban now. Laban was a thief. He was a conniver. He saw his sister come with some gold and silver. And he said, this is good stuff. And it came to pass when he saw the earring, the bracelet of his sister's hands, when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man to me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camp of the well. And he said, come in, you blessed Lord. Wherefore stand you without? For I have prepared a house and room for the camels. He simply said, I want a part of the action. There's always somebody trying to steal and weasel himself in. But God will take care of them too. And then we read this here. In verse number, this is important too that we read this. And the man came into the house, and the ungoodest camp gave strong provender for his camp, water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have done my errand. And he said, speak on. This is something you want to learn. I'm sure that Eleazar was hungry, tired, nice bread there. And he simply wanted to eat. But he said this, no, I'm not going to eat right now. I'm going to hold off. I want to do business first. God's business. Learn this. Always put God's business first. Yours last. And you will be very blessed. And then we read in the same chapter here. In verse number 49. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I might turn to the right hand or the left. Then Laban Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeds from the Lord, we cannot speak unto you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. They simply said, we're going to send our daughter, my sister, my daughter. These men now had to have faith, because they did not know if Eleazar was real or not. He could have been someone just buying up for slavery. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go. And then verse 52, and it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. This man simply worshipped, praised God, thanked God as he moved. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, tarried all night. And he rose up in the morning and he said, send me away, my master. And the brother and the mother said, let the damsel abide with a few days. At the least 10 after that she shall go. And he said to them, hinder me not. Seeing the Lord has pressed my way, send me away that I might go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire the mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his man. Rebekah simply said, I will go. I don't know this man. I know nothing about it. But I do trust God. And she went. And in verse number 63, and Isaac went out to meditate in a field at the eventide. He was a praying man. Every night he would go to the field and pray. And lift up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted up the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walks in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Now, listen closely now. Here comes now Rebecca. She's off the camel walking. Her face is covered with a veil. All you can see would be the eyes. Her hair is covered. She's closing on that does not reveal her body. And all Isaac sees now is a woman. He sees two eyeballs. He did not simply say, well, let's check this chick out a little bit. How does she look? I want to lift the veil. I want to see you. I don't want to marry, you know, an ugly one. This is where faith comes in. He saw the woman. He saw Eleazar, the servant. And he simply said, I accept you. In faith, I accept you. And he said, I take you to be my wife. He said that before he had seen her, spoken to her. This is the kind of faith Isaac had. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now Isaac is married. And he still haven't. He was not with her for 19 years. But I wanted to look at the death of Abraham in Genesis 25, 7. Genesis 25, 7. And these are the days and the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 103 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in good old age, an old man of full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his son Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre. The field which Abraham purchased of the son of Heth, there was Abraham buried and Sarah his wife. You remember the story of Ishmael? And the rejection that Sarah had of her son, actually the son of Hagar. And Isaac now was a heir. He was the heir to everything. Ishmael was his half-brother. Isaac could have simply said, you know, this is my dad. I'm going to bury him. But he stopped. And he sent word to Ishmael and said, Ishmael, I want you to become here. This is also your dad. I want you and me to do the funeral together. That's love. We need to understand that we got to have love. We got to care for other people. We got to minister to their needs and not to be selfish. The more you give, the more you love, the more you could get loved, and the more it could be given to you. It's fantastic to walk with God in these ways. In Genesis 25:21, we read this now. Isaac had been married for 19 years. Can you imagine this now? 19 years. And it was a shame in the Middle East if a woman didn't have any children. For 19 years, they've been together. And she was barren. Beautiful lady. Nice looking woman. But no children. And then, we read this here. What Isaac did in 25:21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Can you see Isaac praying? God, you sent me this woman. I love her. We want to have a child, Lord. Please give us a child. He prayed. He had faith. And God gave them twins. Despite all the stuff that was good about Isaac, he had some character flaws. And I want to tell you now, up to now we have looked upon what God was doing for Isaac on the earth. But now we're going to move to the track we was doing for him for eternally. Eternity. Have you picked it up now? In 25:27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Isaac now simply said, I like Esau better. I like that boy. And instead of the dad of simply saying, I love both of them, he began to favor Esau. And Rebekah favored Jacob. Remember this now. When there is no pressure, the flaws are never coming out. When there's no pressure, you can smile, you be nice. But you see, when you hit that brick wall, when something doesn't go right, when somebody says something to you, do something, or you don't get your way, what rises up? Ooh, your character comes up. Ugly. Anger. Resentment. Bitterness. I hate this. And God said, good. Now, I want you to watch yourself. Is that how you want to be? You like that? You like your foul mouth? You like your bitterness, your anger? It only comes out under pressure. Isaac set himself up here by simply having a favor. His, one of his sons was a favorite instead of having them both. In Genesis 26, we read that from verse number 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Sojourn in this land, I will be with you, and I will bless you. For unto you and unto your seed I will give all these countries, and perform the oath which I sworn to Abraham your father. And I will make your seed to multiply as the star of heaven. I will give you to your seed all these countries. In your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife. Lest that he, the man of this place, would kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Just like his dad, he lied. Character flaw. Now, how did God get that character flaw out. I want you to see this. God simply said we're going to have a little famine. So he withheld the rain and everything else. There was a famine in the land. Then he said, Abraham, Isaac, I don't want you to go down to Egypt, but I want you to go over here to the Philistines. So he went over there. And then God simply said to the man, you know, look at that woman. Isn't she beautiful? Because he knew what they would do. And he went to the king and said, hey, there's a nice-looking chick over here, you know. You really want to check her out. And Abimelech did. He called her. Now, all this was set up to show Isaac, you are a liar. You might not know, but you're a liar. I want the lying out of you. So the pressure came. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. In other words, he was running around and just messing around with her. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, I'm assured to you, she's your wife. And how said you, she's my sister. And Isaac said to him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this that you have dealt to us? One of the people might likely have lain with your wife, and you should have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that troubles his man and his wife shall surely be put to death. God dealt with Isaac. I'm sure that Isaac must have felt very bad. I'm sure he must have said, God, forgive me. I didn't trust you to protect me. I lied. I don't want to be a liar. God forgave him. In verses 11 here, we read this in the same chapter here as you move on. In verse number 12, then Isaac sold in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. That's a good crop. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, went forward and grew, until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. And you read later on, they had problems with the water. But now I want to see something here. What do you see now? He had flocks, land, gold, silver. Where are these flocks today? Where is the gold? Where is the silver? Where are the riches of Isaac today on earth? Dust. Don't exist. But you know what? In heaven, he has treasures. And in heaven today, whatever he sent ahead of him is still lasting and will last through eternity. It's nice to have money on this earth. It's nice to have cars and homes and stuff like this. But you know what? All of us here, we're going to leave it all behind. You're not going to take nothing with you. Not even a credit card. Not even your wedding ring. You're going to leave it all. We have riches now. God wants to bless us now. Use our riches. Use what you have to enlarge the kingdom of God. Isaac lived a good life. He ate good food, good clothing. I'm sure he had lived a life in luxury. But it didn't corrupt him. He was looking for a city. And he is now at that city. In verse 23 of the same chapter, we read this. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, For I am with you, and will bless you, and multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Fear not, Isaac. Have faith in me now, and I will take care of you. As a result, his enemies came to him. In verse 26, we read this. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuza, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said to them, wherefore come you to me, seeing that you hate me, have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with you. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and you. Let us make a covenant with you, that you will do no hurt, as we have not touched you, as we have done to you nothing but good, have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning, and sware one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him. And then, the same day, Isaac's servant came and told him concerning the well which you have digged, and said to him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. Your enemies God will send to us. If you simply walk with God and have faith, he's going to bless you, prosper you on this earth. And people are going to see that. And they're going to come. And they want to be part of your life, because they see the blessing of God upon you. This is here on this earth. There was also grief that he had. In verse number 34 and 35, we read this. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. God had told them, don't marry heathens. This is not race, this is faith. And Esau did that. And he called a lot of grief. Then we turn to chapter 27. The breakdown in the marriage. They've been married now for a number of years. Probably about 60 years. And Rebecca now, we do not know why she did this. But Rebecca simply deceived her husband. She destroyed a marriage. It came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim so that he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, to him. My son, he said to him, behold, here I am. And he said, behold, now I'm old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray you, the weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out into the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such thy love, and bring it to me that I might eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went out to the field to hunt for venison to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard your father speak unto Esau your brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I might eat and bless you before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command you. Notice now, verse 8, mom is saying now, Jacob, obey me, not your dad, not God, obey me. Go not to the flock and fetch me from those two good kids of the goats. And I will make them savory meat for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father, that he may eat, that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure would fail me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. I shall bring a curse upon me, not a blessing. Here's what he said. Mom, if I go to Dad and he find out that I'm not Esau, he's going to curse me. He did not say, Mom, this is not right. This is deception. Jacob did not say that. He simply said, I don't want to get caught. And his mother said to him, upon me be you curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. You read the rest of that chapter, and it is very, very sad. When Rebecca did this, she forfeited. I want you to hear me now. She forfeited her eternal blessings. She sent away Jacob. She never saw him again as her. She died. The Bible doesn't say how she died. Doesn't say she was buried. She simply evaporated. She simply destroyed her eternal rewards. For what? Because she favored Jacob over Esau. And she wanted to rule with her son. Notice, when somebody come up to you and simply say, you know, we're going to do this shady deal. Don't say, well, I don't want to be caught. You want to say, I don't want to sin. I don't want to make a shady deal. I don't want to steal. I don't want to lie. I want to walk in truth. I don't need to cheat to get a better job. I don't need to do this or that. I don't have to do that. And then they simply send him away. And she never saw him again. In chapter 28, verse 1, we read this. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife for the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take you a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be the multitude of people. And give the blessing of Abram to you and to your seed with you, that you may inherit the land wherein you are estranged, which God gave to Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Ram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's, and Esau's mother. It must have been tough for Isaac. He loved Rebekah, but she betrayed him. It must have been tough. But you never find here that he scolded her. I'm sure he simply said, you did wrong. He forgave her. But you know that closeness between husband and wife was gone forever. She destroyed that. It was in the news today. It was a couple. He was 93 and she was 91. And they've been married for over 65 years. And they were in a nursing home, I think, up in Minnesota, Wisconsin, someplace like that. And they'd taken ill now. And they were both in a nursing home. And they simply said this, we've always been together. So they'd taken two single beds and pushed them together. They had one room together, slept side by side. And then he passed away yesterday. And the personality they knew how much they loved each other. So they asked her, would you like to hold his hand one more time? She said, yes. They took his hand, gave it to her, and she held that. 3 hours later, she passed away too. And somebody said this is not mine, that when you grieve over a lost wife or husband, it is the last love letter you write. That's a beautiful thing. If you grieve, it shows you love. Instead of prayer. Bill, come up and pray again for
you. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you, Lord, right now for this time we've had with you, Lord. And Lord, we want to, Lord, lift up our pastor to you right now, Lord God. He's been through a lot this year, Lord. And God, he has a love for each and every one on that attends here, Lord, his wife, Lord, for all those on the internet, Lord God. He loves people, Lord. And we thank you for this man, Lord. And Lord, right now, we just offer this love, Lord, to all those that are listening, Lord. And we pray, Lord, God, that they will see, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work here, and we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for so much that you've done for us. And Lord, right now, Lord, we just want to offer a hand out to those, Lord, those that might not be saved, Lord God, that do not know you, Lord. What a beautiful thing it is to hear from your word, Lord, that these men that were obedient to you, Lord, they've set in motion our futures, Lord. We want to thank you for them, for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all these men that you've got in your word, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for this message that you've brought here, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And right now the altars are open. We want to invite the elders to come forward. And Lord, anyone that is grieving right now or that has something that they would like to share, Lord God, and Lord, that we could pray for them, Lord. We thank you for that. And once again, we ask those that are listening by the webcast, Lord, that they would just write to us and let us know that they're being blessed by this ministry. We want to thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5, 7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner. and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to Pastor John S. Durrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the 21st part in the series, The Epistle to the Hebrews, and was entitled, The Life of Isaac. Isaac's birth brought a lot of laughter into his parents' lives. As a teenager, Isaac showed great faith in God and his father when he was to be sacrificed. As a young man, he waited patiently for a wife, and later invited his estranged half-brother, Ishmael, to their father's funeral. Isaac was a man of prayer who sought the Lord when Rebekah could not conceive and was rewarded with two sons. No one is perfect, and one of Isaac's flaws was fear, which caused him to lie. He also had trouble with Esau's rebellion, Rebekah's deception, and Jacob's lies. There is no doubt Isaac repented of his sins, and God rewarded him by bringing peace with his enemies, riches, and a long life that caused him to enjoy the homecoming of Jacob and his family. Isaac's life should bring encouragement to those who do not have a special calling and wonder what God is doing in their lives. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1376. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address, once again, is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.